Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday again, and it's time for the Franchise Essential Show, franchising and social media at its best, which some people we have found have dubbed it the Bagel and Pasta Franchise Hour. Today is Thursday, August 27th. My name is Paul Segreto, and I'm joined by my co-host, the ever-popular Sultan of Swing, the infamous royal leader of the franchise kingdom, the one, the only franchise king himself, Joel LaBava. How are you today, Joel?
Oh, how the heck are you? Calling from the rock and roll capital of the world, Cleveland, Ohio.
That's great. Cleveland, Ohio. Boy, it's been a long time since I've been in Cleveland. Actually learned how to drive an 18-wheeler right there on Interstate 90 in downtown. Every time I got my foot off the clutch, I rolled backwards about 20 feet and scared a bunch of little old ladies behind me.
That was you?
That was me. That was me, right in the middle of Cleveland rush hour.
Was this like 86, 87?
No, it would be a little bit earlier than that. 79, actually.
Oh, 2 years after I graduated high school. Wow. Well, maybe I didn't see you then. I wasn't allowed to hang around downtown.
There you go. Hey, everybody, we're also joined by Joel's protector of the kingdom, the franchise dog, Winston. How's Winston doing today?
He's rough.
And, of course, I'm sitting here with Dolce, the social media wonder dog, and you can follow Winston on Twitter at Franchise Dog, and you could follow Dolce at Dolce Segreto. Yes, we do have a life, I think. Don't we?
Are they ever going to meet before we do in person?
I guess so. We need to. Hey, in today's show, Joe and I.
Wait, dude, we can go to an IFA show together.
There you go, and we can bring our dogs with us. I'm sure that'll go over very, very well.
Very well.
Yes. In today's show, hey, you know what? We could do that, and then we can invite Camp Bow Wow and Dogtopia there, too, and maybe dog sitting and dog hair. And yeah, that would be pretty good. We'll set up a tent like the old medicine show.
Well, you know what? Just because they won't let non-paying members in doesn't mean they won't let in non-paying pets.
Hey, that's right. Winston's the franchise dog, and Dolce's the social media wonder dog.
Yeah, they see him, they'll be moving away.
There you go. In today's show, Joe and I will be easing into our new format. We're on a weekly basis. Joe and I will be discussing franchising, including news, events, blogs, and anything related to franchising. In addition, our discussions will focus on items of interest to the franchise community. For clarification's sake, that's franchisors and franchisees alike, and that will also include topics such as franchise sales, social media, lead generation, franchise relationships, and more. Hey, Joel, I think our intent is to also have special guests on the show.
Yes.
So we're always looking for franchise experts, marketing experts, and basically anyone that can contribute something of interest to making our industry better tomorrow than it was yesterday. Joel, next week I've invited Linda Deschamps, CEO at Strategic Growth Concepts, as our special guest.
Oh, good.
And she'll be discussing mobile marketing and how to use it effectively within a franchise system. I think she really, really understands mobile marketing and has worked with many franchises and small businesses in driving business to their locations. And, of course, doing so effectively and cost-effectively. For more information about Linda and mobile marketing, both Joel and I have articles by Linda about the subject on our respective websites. Joel's may be accessed at, and I'm going to get this right, Joel, thefranchisekingblog.com. And, of course, mine may be accessed at fmdpro.com. Moving forward, Joel and I encourage our listeners to send their recommendations for a new name for this show. Joel, have you heard from anybody on this?
No.
No, I haven't either. We might have to make our own decision.
Oh, no one seems to care. And by my dangling, without your permission, my dangling modifier out there was whoever can come up with a name that makes sense that Paul and I agreed to will give you 15 minutes of fame on the show. And that didn't even do it.
I'll tell you, it's something. Anyway, well, we want a name, you know, to accurately represent who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. And looks like right now maybe the bagel and the pasta franchise hour might be the leading candidate.
Hey, whatever works. But before we continue, there's a little song I'd like to sing. Is that okay? It's a short one.
Okay. Do we have to pay royalties for this?
Well, probably not, but someone might be paying for it.
Okay, Joe. All right. Here we are live, Joe LaBava, right. Singing whatever.
I have my Time Warner cable, high-speed internet, and it ain't working. I don't know what I'm going to do here. I've been unplugging, plugging, and it just isn't happening. So Time Warner cable, Northeast Ohio, could you help me out here? I'm done. Go ahead. I feel better.
Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest. Hey, today we have just a few announcements. I know we don't talk politics, and I always seem to wind up in this, but first I'd like to offer my condolences to the Kennedy family and to the American public with the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy. Hey, love him or hate him, he probably did more for America from his place in the Senate than most presidents have done from their spots in the White House. I guess, Joel, now we'll have another former athlete or comedian running for a political seat. Hey, you know what?
Too bad
you don't live in Massachusetts.
I can't even spell it. Hey,
well, you know, it's funny you say that because I have to admit that I had to do a spell check because no matter how many times I threw it in there, it spelled it wrong.
Oh, wow. Are you a political blogger, too?
No, I'm not a political blogger.
Okay.
That's why I didn't know how to spell it.
Ah, no, really.
But,
yeah, go ahead.
But, you know, love him or like him, or, I mean, hate him or whatever. I mean, he did a lot for America, and I think there's going to be few and far between and like him, and certainly he'll be missed.
Well, let me share real quick that, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, or even if you don't know what aisle you're on or where you're supposed to be, The one word that describes him for me anyway is passion, and I try to exude the same kind of passion for the world of franchising. I'm sure not as good as him, but I love people that are passionate in what they believe in, as long as they don't do it in a destructive way. And the guy was a hammer, you know, and he definitely will be missed. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Welcome. Well, you know, we've been also in the past few weeks talking a great deal about veterans and franchising, and I've been telling a few people about it, and I want to reiterate again the wonderful site you have dedicated to franchising and veterans, and if you would, please explain a little bit about the franchise blog for vets.
Sure. The major force at the Small Business Administration office in Cleveland gotten to know Mr. Renner for about 7 years ago. And John is very, very, speaking of passionate, he's very passionate about helping veterans. He's very, very good at helping veterans get into the contracting business and get contracts that are offered by the government, et cetera. And he's a really good matchmaker. Anyway, he's very passionate about veterans and veteran business owners, and we had breakfast one morning, and this was about a year after I launched my first blog, the Franchise King blog, and as he's talking, I drifted away, as I sometimes do, and I said to myself, self, you know what, maybe I should do a blog just for veterans that are interested in franchising. So that's how I came up with it. It's about a year and a half old, www.thefranchiseblog.com. And then the number 4, vets.com, the franchise blog for vets.com. I post on it, not as frequently as the Franchise King blog, but I post on it enough where I try to pass around stories and articles and some fresh posts that relate to veterans that are currently in small businesses, franchise or not, and who are interested in getting in the franchise industry because, as we know, there's going to be quite the number. Quite a large number of veterans are going to be coming back overseas from Iran, and I'm sorry, from Iraq. Little Freudian slip there. From Iraq and you know, sooner or later, hopefully sooner, Afghanistan. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of junk out there. So I'm trying to get through the junk and in my usual no-spin, straightforward way, share with veterans what it's like to be a franchisee and always provide tips so they can help protect themselves. So that's what it's there for, Paul. Thank you.
Well, great. You know, I have a distinct advantage today in talking about your site at franchiseblogforvets.com because I have it up on the computer and your computer and your internet is down right now.
Actually, strangely enough, right after my little song, and I'm not kidding, the lights were flashing, just like when I used to live in Vegas. No, the lights were flashing, and I'm live again. I got the internet back.
Okay, let me ask a question. Back on July 26th, you did a little article about Dogtopia washing dogs, and
yeah,
there's an Airedale there. Is that Winston in that picture?
No. No. If everyone who has a live commuter connection now, you go to the, I'll get you his picture right now. Go to www.thefranchisekingblog.com. You have to scroll all the way to the bottom. I mean, all the way. And in little red lettering, it says look, and then rough, rough. If you click that, that would be Winston.
Well, everybody say hello to Winston and also follow him on Twitter at Franchise Dog. Hey, I noticed also on your site, you have the little banner there for Maid Brigade's $1.5 million Veterans Franchise Giveaway. And
yes,
I know that program's really picking up steam, and I want to remind all interested parties to check it out well before the final announcements of winners on Veterans Day. How appropriate.
Yes. What is that website, Paul?
That website is www.maidbrigadegiveaway.com.
Thank you, Paul.
Hey, Joe, I've also been made aware of some additional veterans programs within franchising.
No.
And this one is a little bit different. I read that Computer Explorers is offering classes for military veterans. Bud Hadfield, the owner of Computer Explorers, you know, Bud is the one that started Quick Copy. And they also have Computer Explorers and a couple of other franchises under their ICED brand, which is the International Center for Entrepreneurial Development. It's out in Cypress, Texas, which is a suburb of Houston, and it's really an unbelievably remarkable campus because it's this country setting, white picket fences as you drive through this meandering road into the facility, and you see some hacienda-type buildings on one side, and you see a nice stream running down the other, and there's a bunch of motivational signs along the way. And then they have a big mini hotel there, and then they have some small little shops that look like they're out of the Old West. And then, of course, you see their administration building. And as soon as you pass the administration building, I swear, because I lived outside of San Antonio for many years, it is an exact replica of the Alamo. It is just absolutely fascinating. I mean, the hair in the back of my neck just raises up every single time that I'm out there, and it's just a wonderful job. But anyway, in explaining this, Bud was a World War II veteran who wants to now serve those who served us. So Computer Explorers is incorporating project-based learning to help military veterans in their job search and career placement. The first pilot program will be underway September 8th through 11th at Northwest Forest in, you know, like I said, outside of Houston. And using their proprietary curriculum to learn Microsoft Office applications, you know, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, all the things that I always have a hard time with, participants will develop their resumes, explain their life and work experience with PowerPoint. And then what they're going to do, Joel, is establish personal budgeting processes. They're going to showcase their projects via Computer Explorers' new social media course focusing on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook to develop business contacts and job opportunities. And I think these practical applications will enable the vets to explore wider employment opportunities. But, Bud, you know, a lot of people don't know that Mr. Hatfield was also a Dale Carnegie instructor for 20 years. So he's also created a short personal development workshop to help the veterans speak comfortably in front of a group and to develop interviewing skills. I mean, this is a heck of a program. I don't know of any other franchise group that has anything even close to it. Do you?
No, nothing like it at all, man.
It's really fascinating.
I like it.
Yeah, really fascinating. I mean, Deb Evans, the CEO at Computer Explorers and the Computer Explorers team, really carry on Bud's vision all the time, it seems. Great people out there, great organization, and I had the pleasure of meeting a lot of their franchisees at their tweet-up back in June. Just fascinating people and really have a lot of genuine interest in making things better for everybody, and in this case, for the veterans themselves. So anyway, you could look at this information at www.computerexplorers.com/about/corporate underline blog. Really an interesting initiative.
Good, I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to be posting that on my blog site as well, and probably do a little promotion on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, as I always do. Joel, you know, I know you'll be talking about various bits of information that have come out of the franchising blog world, but I want to take a moment to discuss an effort that's been, you know, close to my heart. You and I discussed it again this morning. I've recently written about it on my blog. It's the fight against texting and driving. Working with one of my clients, MomCorps, I had the pleasure of meeting, and it almost sounds comical, but it's not, Don't Twive, D-O-N-T-T-W-I-V-E, online on Twitter. And that's great. It's Don't Twive as Don't Tweet and Drive. I was going to say and Dwive. Don't Tweet and Drive, or actually Don't Tweet, Text, or Talk While Driving. That's the best way to say it. Anyway, as I'm always looking for social media opportunities, I often watch CNN, and specifically Rick Sanchez. I pay a lot of attention to his show, which is the Daily National Conversation, which airs weekly at 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And his show is the one where people send in thoughts and comments through Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. So it's a very interactive show. Unlike this show, right?
What? Huh?
The other day, Rick featured a public service announcement out of the United Kingdom, a video that depicted an accident caused by texting and driving. Joel, I got to tell you, and I know you said you hadn't seen it because I had mentioned how intense it is, and it is, because quite frankly, I still shudder when I watch this 4.5-minute video, and I've actually taken it to a different side of the spectrum. I've actually watched it 6 or 7 times over the past 4 days. I guess it's just one of those things where I've become mesmerized by it. Well, I'm making this my community platform, and I'm dedicating my own efforts to helping Don't Twive, because the word about texting and driving must be spread far and wide. On my blog, I've written about it. I've referred to Don't Twive blog and the video itself. I've also blitzed it across various social media, and I ask everyone within the franchise community to share the same with their friends and families, and more importantly, you know, within their social networks where we can really make this effort possibly go viral. So for more information, please refer to my blog and click on the links to Don't Twive. Of course, I recommend you follow them on Twitter. And their ID is, of course, at Don't Twive. Anyway, that's my soapbox for the day, Joel. I'm gonna throw it over to you and tell me what's going on in the franchise blog world.
Well, that's interesting.
That's not written by you or I.
Yeah, right. It's getting a little easier to find. A friend of mine down actually in Brazil runs a blog called Franchise Talk. And she just posted was it today? I don't see the date there. Come on, girl. About a franchise that this is going to be a weird one, folks, but it's called Dr. Katoff, Inc. Dr. Katoff is planning on expanding his franchise across the country from three clinics in, big surprise, Southern California for tattoo removal.
Wow.
And it's actually not a bad idea. You know, talk about graphic. From what I hear, it's supposed to be incredibly painful to have a tattoo removed, and it's like a, I don't know, like a 20-step process or something. What do you know? You have a couple of those.
Yeah, right. You're the one that's probably got a tramp stamp on you, right? You ever heard
hey, I resemble that remark.
You know, I don't have any tattoos. Nobody in my family does, and I couldn't even imagine somebody sticking needles in me with dye and whatever the process might be. I do know a lot of people have it, and I know it is a painful process, but what amazes me, you know, how big some of these tattoos are. I wonder, and call me skeptical, but... But I would love to see the before and after pictures for myself to believe they absolutely can make those tattoos disappear.
Well, you know what? I just went over to the Dr. Katoff website, which would be www.drkatoff.com, and I put in some hypothetical pricing to see how much it would be. Let's say, for instance, I had a two square inch tattoo of, I don't know, let's say a picture of Dolce Segreto, the little dog, on my arm. I wanted a laser tattoo removal. Five visits will cost me $83 per visit, but I get a discount, and it turns into about $74 a visit. So for about $375, I can probably get a 2x2 inch tattoo removed. I don't know, man. I mean, this... I've heard of very bizarre franchises. I would say that in the next 10 years, there probably will start to be a need for it.
There's no doubt there's going to be a need for it, because I can't imagine what some of these little butterflies are going to look like on these 21-year-old girls when they're 70 years old. They're going to look like, you know, eagles with a wingspan of, you know, 2 feet across and 2 feet down.
You're talking butterflies. I'm talking pro basketball players with the 16-inch necks and 17-inch tattoos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a $15,000 procedure full of fun.
I think it's cheaper just use a permanent marker and draw it on yourself and scrub it off over a little bit of time.
It's unbelievable. But, hey, you know what? This could fly.
Yes, I think so. It's definitely a little niche there, and I wish them the best of luck. I'd be interested to see us discussing this about 15 or 20 years from now, saying, remember when.
I wonder
if... You know, speaking about that, I mean, remember when. You know, what franchises from 20 years ago are no longer around?
Well, first of all, why don't you just walk all over me while I'm talking?
Okay.
You're pretty consistent.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it.
Go ahead. What were you asking?
I was saying, being we mentioned franchises from years ago, I don't know, I just got a wild hair and I said, you know, what franchises were around 20 years ago that aren't here today?
You're older than me, Paul. You get to ask that one and answer it, too.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I guess I am a little bit older.
A little bit. There's got to be a couple old transmission shops that aren't around
anymore.
Oh,
I know. There's a bunch. Of course, Gibraltar Transmission's not there anymore. Cotman Transmission bought Amco.
What?
Cotman name is going away.
Yeah.
Burger Chef. Wasn't that
Burger Chef? Yeah, we used to have Burger Chef. White Castle is around again. I don't know if it's a franchise or not, though.
I don't know if they are franchising now. I know they started out not franchising were not franchising up until a few years ago. So I'm not sure.
Those
I'm sorry to get you off the track, and I'm sorry to be talking all over you.
It's okay. Did you ever have a White Castle burger? Those things were a little bizarre to begin with, man.
The sliders. They slide in and slide out.
Yeah, they slide out all right.
I love White Castle.
Sorry about that.
Okay, the next one is there's something about Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, but you should really pronounce the title on the top of franchising.com, their press release page. I don't know if you can get to it or not. But we need a New Yorker to pronounce
New
the
Yorker.
Title of
all
this
right.
thing.
All right, so it's Toffee for Your Coffee Donut Arrive
you.
At Dunkin' Donuts.
Thank you. Toffee for Your Coffee. It's a grand prize winner who created Dunkin's Next the Donut. And it sounds pretty good. It was revealed as the winning donut on National Donut. Did you know that National Donut Day was June 5th, or in our case, pretty much every day with our active blogging lifestyles? This gentleman invented a toffee-filled donut, which features a sour cream cake, a donut tossed with glaze and chopped Heath bar. Ooh, nice way to start off your morning. Of course, if you're our age, one of those donuts in about 20 minutes, I'd be passed out, man. The sugar would just kick my butt.
Well, I wish I knew about the contest because I would have came up the donut that was filled with cannoli cream like a cannoli.
Not a bad idea.
I guess then why eat the donut? Just eat a cannoli, right?
Well, or in my case, I was thinking maybe a gefilte fish stuffed donut. You know.
Anyway,
Did you ever catch a gefilte fish before when you were out fishing in New York?
No, I never have. Never have, and never really cared for them. I'm sorry.
New York actually is the only state that has fresh gefilte fish in their lakes. Pretty cool. They're hard to catch, though.
Really? No.
Yeah, they're weird. Yeah, weird fish.
Take me to a Jewish deli, and I'll be eating the pastrami and the corned beef and the knishes and the Hebrew National hot dogs and the Dr. Brown's cream soda and black cherry soda, and I'm fine. Eating the herring and the gefilte fish and lox and stuff, just not my cup of tea.
You know, my wife, who also is of your persuasion, also will not eat fish that is cold. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I totally understand.
Well, anyway, I understand the winner won $12,000 to invent this Toffee for Coffee donut.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Wow. I guess he could put that towards a Dunkin' Donuts franchise.
Yeah, he's probably only about 390 grand short.
What else is on the blogging world?
The forthcoming Burger Wars from Donald, our friend over at Franchise Direct, who keeps putting out content, and, man, he's getting a freebie every week. I think I'm going to give him a jingle and start charging. But the forthcoming Burger Wars, Hardee's and Carl's Jr., which are both owned by CKE Restaurants, Inc., have announced they will be taking on the world's number one global franchise in hamburgers. Anyone guess that one? Right. Mm-hmm. McDonald's. In September, they have a simple marketing plan. This is actually pretty good. They're offering any customer a mail-in rebate if they honestly believe that the McDonald's Angus burger tastes better than the Carl's Jr. $6 Angus burger or a $3.40 Hardee's Angus thick burger. Let me ask you a strange question. Not to slam Hardee's or Carl's Jr., but where did they come up with an idea like an Angus burger?
I don't know, but I've gotten a couple of coupons in the mail from the local McDonald's, and I've tried the Angus burger. And I think it's the way I refer to it is it's a grown-up burger. I think it's actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you've seen this with your eagle eye, and I hate to point this out, but yet it is so glaring on my screen.
Yeah, I saw it.
In the paragraph, the Angus birder.
Birder. Yeah,
I saw it. Is that kind of a toss-up between burger and murder?
Well, you know, depends how bad you want a McDonald's franchise.
That's funny. No matter how much
I'd kill for it, I'd kill for one.
Actually, I think the burger is pretty good. I haven't had any of the other competing burgers, but the McDonald's Angus burger here, the deluxe value meal with tax and everything is $6.22.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I am, not that anyone really cares, but I'm kind of your basic two burgers, just regular little skinny burgers, two burgers, a large fry, and a Coke kind of guy. I'm just kind of a traditionalist. I don't even do cheeseburgers. Like, I can't, I'm just a hamburger kind of guy.
Do you have Red Robin up there?
Yes, we do.
I love Red Robin. Mm.
You do a pretty good burger. I'm always kind of questioning whether the mushrooms are canned or real. They have a good mushroom burger. I don't know,
but I imagine Jenny Dietrich, our friend over at Armin Dietrich's, got to be just rolling over because I don't think
Why?
She eats burgers.
Really?
Yeah. Jenny.
She one of those? Is she one of those?
Yeah, she's a health fanatic.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She rides bicycles and across the country and stuff, right?
Yeah, like 300 miles at a time or in a week or something. I can't even imagine that. I don't like to drive my car 300 miles. Hey, Joel, in our continuing efforts to help the franchise community, you and I joined forces in social media marketing arena, and I know you've been working hard at solidifying our online presence.
Yes, I'm trying, baby.
What have you done? Let some people know about it.
Okay. If anyone would like to dial up www.franchisesocialmarketing.com, I've redone our website. Paul is now completely a part of it, frankly, because he just does a better job with social media than I am right now. But between the both of us, we both bring some different things to the table, so we're both really doing this now. I have upgraded our Facebook franchise marketing group. So if you'd like to join that, just go to Facebook, look up Franchise Media Marketing Group, and you'll find us easily. There's also a link on top of that website. I added a cool video that will really get your feet tapping. I hope it did for you, Paul. Just a little kind of a slideshow video from Animoto.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of simplify things a little bit and just walk through it. It's simple. And strangely enough, Paul, I don't think that we need a 10-page white paper to explain to people what social media marketing really is, because you know what? People just need to know how it works and that it does work. They don't need all the complicated stuff. Do you agree?
I agree. And you know, as much as we've promoted and discussed social media, you know, it still blows me away how many business professionals within the franchise industry specifically don't really understand social media and how it's here to stay. I mean, I know you've been involved in social media and blogging, you know, longer than anyone I know within the franchise industry. What's changed since you first started? I mean, how long ago was it that you started?
I started online in 03 and 04, started my first blog in 05. The Franchise King blog came around in 06. That wasn't my first. It was actually my second attempt at it. And, the major changes are that more people are blogging. Twitter, obviously, came on board a couple years ago, so that's very, very popular. Facebook, it's really weird. I was talking to a college-aged kid the other day, and he said, Mr. LaBava, did you realize that Facebook really started for people like going to college so they can know each other in each other's dorms? You know what? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah,
I mean,
matter
Facebook
of fact,
was, you know?
Yeah, at that
me.
Time you needed a college email address.
Yeah, or at least like me and just kind of hang around colleges. Kidding. So that's really changed. I mean, Facebook now is a bigger part of business development activities as Twitter or any of the other major media websites and blogs. So I've seen that really change. And I've also seen the we all better get on Twitter because everyone else is kind of thing come on. And what usually happens is someone will open their free Twitter account, get about 17 followers, call people and say, so now what do I do with it? And then just kind of leave the account kind of stagnant. So that's kind of a problem. And you know what? I still can't explain Twitter. As many articles as I've read on how to explain Twitter, I mean, my memory is not that good anymore. All I do is I tell people, open an account, start by following me, start by following some of the people that I follow, and just kind of get a hang of things. You don't have to say you ate scrambled eggs this morning and at what time, but you could say, on my way to a seminar on marketing over at blah, 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 East 9th Street. That's just kind of the best way to get in it. So I've seen kind of a lot of people come and go. Lately what I'm seeing are some people trying to capitalize on the word social media, and they're probably charging crazy amounts of money to get people involved in this, and it really doesn't have to be expensive. You know, some of the bigger marketing firms obviously have 30 or 40 employees and big overhead, so they're going to have to charge a little more. But this stuff is fairly simple, and most people, if they have the time, can just kind of do it themselves or just kind of get a little jump start, which is kind of what we can help them with. But a lot of things have changed, and I want to bring, while I'm going on here, I want to bring up a name that if you don't understand how social media is supposed to work, if you're on Twitter or if you're on Facebook, look for a guy by the name of, his name is Chris Brogan, C-H-R-I-S-B-R-O-G-A-N. Simply on Twitter, it's at Chris Brogan. If you want to watch a guy do and walk the walk, he is about total transparency at all times. He puts out so much free information, and for him, what I've learned in a year and a half from him is that it's really just about putting stuff out there and waiting for that karma to happen. And guess what? After a few years of putting that stuff out there and learning, I'm starting to get some of that karma now come back to me. So social media marketing is a giving kind of marketing. It's not interruption marketing, and it's not really hard selling. But if you really, really, really want to learn how to do this, check out Chris Brogan. If you just Google him, you'll be able to find his blog. I recommend subscribing to it. He does a lot of speaking. The guy is the master right now when it comes to this. And that, if you want to get on the learning curve, I would encourage that.
You know, one of the things that I found, and I know there's a lot of individuals, I'm sure in other industries besides franchising as well, but a lot of individuals are almost taking a wait-and-see type approach. And I think back to social media a year ago,
mm-hmm.
And social media was hardly even mentioned a year ago. It was, of course, referred to as Web 2.0, which was the catch-all phrase. And then, of course, a lot of it was referred to as social networking. And a lot of people today still refer to as, you know, social media as being social networking. They don't think beyond Facebook and Twitter and MySpace or even LinkedIn. And there are so many other tools. I know, you know, like you mentioned, Animoto is a fabulous Web 2.0 tool. It's part of social media. YouTube is unbelievably on the grow, where people are using it more for information, sharing information and tutorials and seminars and webinars and stuff like that, as opposed to, you know, just posting videos of some crazy antics, you know, behind the local 7-Eleven. And there's just so many. I mean, and then there's so many obscure ones. I mean, there's podcasts.com. Of course, there are individual or specific social networks that are smaller than the likes of Facebook and LinkedIn. There's Connects, there's Spoke, there's Plaxo. There's so many of them. And then there's the world of Ning.com, where anybody could open up their and develop their own little individual social network. And then, of course, there's the blogging world, which the number of bloggers is just, you know, absolutely phenomenal. So which leads to my next question is, at a time when blogging really wasn't mainstream, what made you decide to start blogging?
I felt for me that it would start to real early on. It was a risk because I knew it was going to be time consuming. For me, I thought it would really early on start to help me build credibility I really didn't know that much about the internet, definitely mostly self-taught. But I saw how crowded the market was going to be getting with franchise consultants and brokers like myself. And I figured, you know what, now's the time to jump on this thing because I don't think it's going away. I used to be with a rather large unnamed franchise brokerage group that my late father actually was one of the earliest members. And I left 2 years ago. And interestingly enough, that's about the time I started really, really putting a lot of content out there. And I got to tell you, it's paying off. And it's funny because I watch what they're doing now occasionally, and they just started blogging like 2 months ago. And it's going to take them 2 or 3 years, you know, to catch up and to get in the swing of things. So what I learned mostly was in the internet age, and you talked about this, Paul, people are waiting. Don't wait. Business moves way too fast now, folks. And that's why I think franchising as a business model, although not for everybody, is the way to go in this century. Because if you want to be able to move fast, you need to be with a cohesive kind of business model that can jump on things. I mean, think about it, Paul. If you had $150,000 and your own idea for, let's say, a business-to-business service, today, would you rather spend that $150,000 on your own idea and bust through all the mistakes and bloody your nose and wait a couple years before you see anything? Or could you put your ego aside a little bit? Can you make sure that you're not too entrepreneurial and are okay with following a system? And for that same $150,000 or even maybe more, $200,000, follow someone else's cookie-cutter blueprint and get to market within months.
Oh,
and do it in a way that is smoother because the franchisor, who's the true entrepreneur, already made the mistakes that you don't have to make. I mean, why would you want to do it the hard way? Well, here's the one reason. Because if you happen to have a last name like Gates and Bill Gates and his partner when they started Microsoft, you know, it was all theirs and it's all theirs now. You know, they're not really sharing like if you're a franchisee. So I hope you know where I'm going with this. There's two choices. You can build equity for yourself only, put all the sweat in, put all the, everything in, make all the mistakes, and wait years, or you can get to market fast because it's an ever-changing market and get into a franchise.
Absolutely. And today, too, there are so many different franchise opportunities that certainly everybody could be able to find one that's right for them. And I think one of the biggest ones that I see right now has to do with the in-home businesses with virtual operations. I think it's just phenomenal. Plus, I think that's going to be one of the stronger franchise segments moving forward, at least until the credit markets clear up, because they're not, you know, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 worth of bricks and mortar. A lot of it is stuff that they can do out of their own home. A lot of footwork, as you said, shoe leather marketing, going from door to door selling their wares and their business services, and doing a lot of the work online. And I see a lot of that, you know, popping up, and I'm anxious to see a couple of years down the road how much that segment of franchising continues to grow.
It'll be interesting.
It will be, definitely. You know, you mentioned something, and I know we didn't discuss in our pre-show meeting about what we were discussing, but you talked about the person, the franchisor, being the true entrepreneur. And I recently posted some questions online, and I think I've done it several times in blogs in various sources. You know, are franchisees entrepreneurs?
That's right. And you and I think, disagree a tad on this. I don't think a franchisee is a true entrepreneur. I think the franchisor is the true entrepreneur.
Can a franchisee be a true entrepreneur?
Depends on the specific franchise concept. If it is a Subway, for instance, which has been around for 20-plus years, which is a very rigid system, you know, you're not going to go in and tell the Subway headquarters that you should put the Swiss cheese on before the ham to save time. You know, if it's that kind of thing, you're not going to have too many chances to be entrepreneurial. If it's a younger concept, maybe.
Right. Or opening that older concept in a totally new market. I mean, obviously, if somebody took Subway and said, I think I could run with Subway in Romania, and, you know, obviously you would need some entrepreneurial spirit to do that.
Right, right. And, of course, Subway's permission, because it's theirs.
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's there's been a lot of debate. I mean, if you look at some of my Q&A on LinkedIn, you'll see this ever-growing debate on are franchisees truly entrepreneurs. And I think there's a lot of good argument, and I think I certainly agree that franchisors are the true entrepreneurs, but I do believe there are some franchisees that are entrepreneurial and can be entrepreneurs. It depends on let's back up a second, okay? Because I've heard as recently as last week that a big part of the future of franchising are today's franchisees. Now, let's throw this out. You have a Subway franchisee that owns 4 locations. He also owns 2 Arby's locations. He owns 3 Goodfellas Pizza locations, and he owns 4, I don't know, donut franchises.
Okay.
Can we consider him entrepreneurial?
I guess he would be, as long as, I guess you'd have to have the agreements in place with all those different franchisors
assuming agreements are in place and he's doing everything by the book.
Yeah.
But I think I think those are the type of entrepreneurs that are spinning out nowadays, because basically is an entrepreneur someone that's creating a new business model, and wouldn't that be a new business model to own 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 different type of franchises to be able to eliminate the redundancy of, you know, managerial staff and bookkeeping and stuff like that to make it a viable business model? I would think
Sure.
So, okay, for all the people that quote-unquote screamed at me saying that I implied that franchisees cannot be entrepreneurs, I want to clarify that, yes, franchisees can be entrepreneurs, but franchisees that do not have any entrepreneurial spirit can be successful as franchisees, because if they follow the proven business system, they're going to make it work. I also believe they need to, and I'll promote my own little get-off-your-ass marketing, but not too long. Franchisees need to get off their ass, just like any other small business owner, just like Joel does, just like I do, in order to make it work, because no matter who you're tied into, nobody's going to do it except good old you.
Right, right.
And as you said, you know, good old shoe leather marketing. I like that one. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day was, what was it, business plans on cocktail napkins or something.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I like it better than duct tape marketing, but they've done very well too.
Yeah, John does a nice job.
You know, looking at how has blogging changed over the years?
Well, it's certainly very inexpensive. You know, for a couple $100 a year, you could, you too can have a blog.
Right.
You can go on Google and get a freebie, even though that free one gets slammed all the time by the techies. Blogging has changed because now there's a kind of a almost invisible line between a blog and a website, and what is what and which is which. Because a website can certainly also be partly a blog, and your blog homepage can kind of be your website. So I've seen that kind of get a little interesting. But I think that one needs to have both. I think that the website is your main hub, and you have a link to your own blog from it.
And that's, again, where we disagree, which makes us so harmonious together, because
yes,
I pulled down my website and put all my effort into the blog site, and it's worked well for me. So everybody can see out there that we're not just throwing out a bunch of propaganda. We disagree on a lot of issues, sometimes slight, sometimes drastically. You know, the one thing that I have seen And probably a lot of people that haven't ventured into blogging probably have this misperception of it, is that you don't have to be so all-encompassing creative and be able to create something from scratch every single time that you blog.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, there are bits and pieces you can utilize from other people. Just, I mean, my suggestion would be making sure you understand what the reproductive permission is. Make sure what, you know, make sure that you do link back and give credit to the author and where it was posted and when it was posted. And do you have any other thoughts to that?
Yeah, you just have to really be careful. I mean, if you want to take a snippet of a paragraph or two, When I do it, I don't really take it. I'm just kind of using it for some added value to my readers. But if I go to, let's say, allbusiness.com and I see something that my friend Rieva has wrote, I'll take a paragraph of it, I'll copy and paste it to my blog software, and I will immediately, right underneath it, finish the story here at allbusiness.com. Because that's the right thing to do. People do it with my stuff, too. Not as much as I want, but they do it.
Well, you know, long before I started blogging on the franchise side, you know, I actually had a blog out there that some people find every once in a while, and it was the Texas Italian Restaurant Review. Did you know?
Come on.
Yeah, Texas Italian Restaurant Review dot blogger.com, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I started out, you know, and not knowing, again, that's why I relate to this, thinking that I had to be creative every single time, and I just found it that it was just too time-consuming, and I've let it go, and then I've started it back up again. As a matter of fact, I posted to it about a month ago, and I keep swearing that I'm going to keep going with it and run through the country with it, and it just never seems to be enough time in the day. But I had a lot of fun doing it, and but again, I had that misperception that I had to be, you know, super creative every single time, and it kind of scared me off. And that's what I enjoy about blogging now, once I got to know it. And, you know, for anybody out there that's looking to try any of these things new, just jump in and do it. That would be my best recommendation. And if you think social media is going to go by the wayside and you'll be able to catch up, I would have to cast my vote that you're going to have a very difficult time, because even looking at Facebook, which has been virtually the same for years now, with some minor tweaks and changes and revisions, is changing. I mean, we're coming out with Facebook Lite, which, from my understanding, is supposed to compete more with Twitter and be more like Twitter. So it should be an interesting evolvement through social media. I'm anxious to see what Web 2.1 or Web 3.0 looks like down the road.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting.
It should be. Hey, where are you going to be? What are you writing? Where can people look for you in the very near future?
Where can they look for me? Over at Open Forum by American Express. I have an article that is in queue, and I would imagine it's going to be out in the next couple days, definitely before the end of the month. Just go to Open Forum by American Express, and you'll find that there are some pretty incredible writers there, and also, they have a brand new redone look, and it's pretty neat, getting a lot of industry buzz. And also, over at Small Business Trends, Anita Campbell has my article all set, and that should be out in the next couple of days also. And I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but I think you'll like it.
Great. Now, do you also do some speaking engagements? You do them on a local level, correct?
Yeah, I do them on the local level. I have a blast. I speak to a lot of groups, a lot of outplacements. I'll be speaking at COSE, which is the Council of Smaller Enterprises in Cleveland. There's only about 18,000 members, and it's a huge small business organization. I'll be speaking at their next big conference, which I believe is in October, so I'm scheduled to do that, and that's always fun.
Great. So everybody heard that. Joel is going to be COSE.
Yes, COSE.
Well, I'll be speaking at the Women's Franchise Network event on September 10th. It's an IFA activity, and it's at, coincidentally enough, at ICED headquarters in Cypress, Texas. As I mentioned before, that's the world headquarters of Computer Explorers and Quick Copy and some other franchises. Looking forward to that. I'll be discussing social media and how to generate business development efforts out of social media. So it should be an interesting event. Also, I'll be presenting in the upcoming Frantelligence webinar series with the people over at Franchise Business Review and Armin Dietrich. Ginny Dietrich, the CEO of Armin Dietrich, will be handling four segments on social media and marketing to generate business to actual business locations, while I'll be doing four segments on social media and developing business on a larger scale, such as franchise sales. More details are on my blog site. What else do we have going on in the world? I know there's been a lot of activity on LinkedIn as late because me, put out a question, has LinkedIn run its course? I twisted it a couple of things. I said, you know, has LinkedIn ship come in? Is it still going to be here? A couple of different ways. And boy, I'll tell you one thing, and I think we discussed this some last week, but there were some pissed off people that I even implied that LinkedIn wasn't keeping up with the likes of Facebook and Twitter. And the funny thing, probably there's been, in different discussion groups, maybe 150 responses across the board. The first half of them were all negative towards, how dare you say that LinkedIn isn't keeping pace. And then the second half has really been easing into, you know, LinkedIn is good, but it really does need to have some new applications and tools to make it a little bit more interactive and not so much like a job board or just a reader board. What do you think about that, Joel?
LinkedIn is just a different thing. It's not as loud as Twitter or Facebook, you know, since it's a little more of a professional acting and looking site. It just doesn't get the buzz. I think it's been paced quite well, and it's probably making more money than both of them.
Probably so. Now, I agree with, you know, people. I'm certainly not advocating, you know, putting mafia wars on LinkedIn or being able to send somebody a rose and daisy bouquet. I'm not looking for that, but, you know, it would be nice to be able to bold some text in a discussion.
Yeah.
I would think we have that in blogs and stuff. It would be simple enough to do in a LinkedIn discussion group.
Why don't you put that out as a question?
You're right. I should. I haven't spun it exactly to that specific a question, but certainly it should be out there. And a lot of people are now mentioning stuff like that. And, you know, and again, I'm not looking to start a revolution or anything like that. But, you know, we know, just like we monitor our own sites, they have people monitoring their sites. And I'm sure if enough people request or talk about it, you know, before you know it, I think we'll be able to have bold or, you know, text in our discussion groups.
It'd be cool. I like to see it.
It would be cool. And I just think it's a little bit too cumbersome once you get out of the regimentation of the square box. And, you know, one thing, let me give a tip, because everybody seems to be making the same mistake, and I want you to be able to use social media to your full advantage. If you're posting a link in a discussion group on LinkedIn, put the link in the box below the question so it becomes an active link.
Right.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of study in this. I found a 400% higher probability of people going to your link, clicking on it, by just clicking on an active link as opposed to cutting and pasting. And it really, really, really will enhance the experience. Joel,
absolutely,
we are running out of time. It's amazing how fast this hour blows by. It blows by faster than any hour on my honeymoon, that's for sure.
Oh, well, for us it does anyway.
Yeah, for the other people, that it's like, wake up, wake up. Anyway.
Are we still at 642,000 listeners?
I think we're up to about 690 listeners. Anyway, we're down to 10 seconds, Joel. As always, it's my pleasure being with you here on the show. And everybody, have a great day and a great week, and please be safe.
You too.